Well, good morning and welcome to our worship service today. It is the 21st of February, which is crazy that we're there already. But it's wonderful to see you all and welcome to anyone who's listening to our recording. Today is the first Sunday of Lent, and there are a few opportunities. If you've seen the newsletter this week, there are a few ways to get involved in our services over the coming weeks. Louise has mentioned one way already that you can join in with our virtual choir, which is going to sing Let Us Talents and Tongues Employ. We're going to have a service on the 14th of March, which is Mothering Sunday, where we do a kind of songs of praise thing. And this is something that we've done in the past a lot in the church building. It's slightly different here, but what we're looking for is for people to choose a hymn or a song that they really love to sing as part of church. And ideally, I'd love it if you would be willing to say why you've chosen that song, but you don't have to do that part. It would be great to have people choose as many songs as possible. It is possible because of our copyright stuff to do with streaming that we might not be able to do everybody's suggestion. But if that's the case, we'll let you know. So if you give us your suggestions, then we can tell you whether or not we'll be able to include them, or we might be able to adapt things slightly to be able to include them. So that's Sunday the 14th of March. So I'd be very happy to receive emails or phone calls with hymn suggestions for that Sunday, because we'll do a lot more songs than usual. And that will be a nice way to celebrate and to also sing some of the things that perhaps you've been missing, or even something that we did just last week that you thought, oh yeah, I'd really love to sing that again. So thank you to those of you who've already suggested things, and please do keep your suggestions coming. We're also having today John Forbes is going to lead us in our prayers for others later on in the service, and I'm hoping that every Sunday during Lent we'll have a different person lead our prayers for others. I have an email that's going out later today to those of you who sometimes do that already, but if there's anybody who has not ever had a go at that who would like to, I would really appreciate it. And if you're willing to give it a go, Zoom is a slightly less intimidating way of doing that than when we're face to face in church, so it's a good way to sort of practice if it's something you've thought about but never quite had the courage to have a go at yet. So it would be great if you would like to be involved in that way. I'm going to do our call to worship from the beginning of Psalm 25. That is the psalm that the lectionary has for this week, and I'm just going to read the first few verses. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in you I trust. Do not let me be put to shame. Do not let my enemies exult over me. Do not let those who wait for you be put to shame. Let them be ashamed who are wantonly treacherous. Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all day long. We are gathered together to worship. And as I've been saying week by week, part of what worship is an experience of community. So we're going to go into little groups now. We're going to do this every week during Lent, although it might be at different points in the service, just to catch up with one another in smaller groups and have an opportunity to answer the question, how are you? If you're feeling really ambitious, you might want to ask one another if anybody's given up or taken up anything for Lent, but really it's just an opportunity to say, how are you? I'm going to go for 7 or 8 minutes, and I'll be looking for feedback afterwards whether that was too long or too short, because it's quite tricky to tell, and the different groups maybe get on differently. But we're going to go now into groups. This bit won't be recorded, so you can say whatever you like, and we'll get back together in about 7 or 8 minutes, but now is our opportunity to speak to one another and to say, how are you? So I'll just get those groups set up and we will get going. Go. That should be, there we go. Welcome back, everybody. It looks like everybody made it back, which is excellent. I hope you had a nice chat with each other. Thumbs up if you had enough time. Thumbs down if you didn't have enough time. Great. Oh, okay. Not everybody. Thumbs up if you like talking to each other. Thumbs down if you don't like talking to each other. Very good. Thank you. That is lovely. No, nobody would have been honest enough to say that they didn't anyway, probably, because we can all see each other. That is great. Let's pray together. As we enter these Lenten days and look to fall into step behind Jesus, entering with him the wilderness where battles are lost and won, faith tested and futures found, we confess that we do not always feel ready. We are not strong to face and to find all that might be revealed. We are not pure in heart and mind. Our feet may stumble and be unsure. We carry too many burdens of guilt long gathered, wounds often cherished, a past mulled over, wrongs not righted. And so we pray for you to meet us at the edge of the desert and lighten our load. Take the heavy packs off our backs and simply forgive. What has been, what has not been achieved, all the good we failed to do, that we may travel lightly with you, our eyes set on Jesus going ahead of us, clearing a path, promising that for us rain will fall in the desert, and after the storm, a rainbow will light the heavens, and we will be made new. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. We have a song now. We're going to sing Safe in the Shadow of the Lord. I think I'm going to have to go and close my curtains. The sun's come out over here. So let's have our song. Mary, can I ask you to unmute yourself and read our reading for us, please?
Is that fine? Yes. The reading today is from Mark's Gospel, the baptism of Jesus. One day Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee, and he was baptized by John in the Jordan River. And when Jesus came up out of the water, he saw the heavens split open and the Holy Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven saying, "You are my beloved Son, and I am fully pleased with you." Immediately, the Holy Spirit compelled Jesus to go into the wilderness. He was there for 40 days, being tempted by Satan. He was out among the wild animals, and angels took care of him. Later on, after John was arrested by Herod Antipas, Jesus went to Galilee to preach God's good news. "At last, the time has come," he announced. "The kingdom of God is near. Turn from your sins and believe this good news." Thanks be to God.
Thank you very much, Mary, and extra thanks for being willing to read at short notice. Thank you. We read part of this same passage just a few weeks ago in the lectionary. We read the part about the baptism of Jesus in Mark's Gospel. The last time that we read it, we stopped at the end of God's words and we didn't read the next part. So here we are back again, because this is the reading for the beginning of Lent, and we get a bigger chunk and perhaps get to understand what's going on at the baptism of Jesus in a bigger context. In today's reading, there are two landscapes. There's the landscape of the river where Jesus is baptized, and there's the landscape of the wilderness where he's led by the Spirit immediately after his baptism. This time last week, we were fully snowed under, here at least, and I know lots of you were in the same situation. The landscape out of our windows and in our gardens and in the paths all around us has dramatically changed in the course of the last week. We know a lot about rivers this week, as all of the rivers are swollen and creeping upwards as all of the meltwater comes rushing down. The imagery of a river in the Bible is usually about bounty and abundance, about God's generosity and provision. And it's also a symbol of joy. That appears in the Psalms a lot, Psalm 46. There is a river that makes glad the city of God. And that imagery of joy and abundance and provision for rivers makes a lot of sense, given that the Bible comes from a country that is very dry and often very hot and very deserty. So water, people are very aware that water is what's necessary for life, and it's therefore also a source of joy. As I said, we've read this account in Mark's Gospel of Jesus' baptism quite recently, but when we stopped last time, we stopped with God's words of affirmation. "You are my Son, the beloved, with you I am well pleased." So we left it at the river last time, but this time we go immediately from river to wilderness. And to us, the wilderness probably sounds like a place of emptiness and want, and it is in the biblical picture. But within that biblical picture, it also very much conjures up the years that the people of Israel spent wandering in the wilderness. This story is in the background of Jesus being led into the wilderness. And although that was a very difficult journey, it was also a journey that the people were led on by God as a pathway out of slavery. And it was a time when they experienced God's provision in very miraculous ways. They received water from the rock. They received manna and quail. They were guided by pillars. There was all sorts of dramatic ways that God provided for them in that season in the wilderness. The wilderness in those stories led eventually to the promised land by way of a great many trials and temptations, by way of many encounters with the living God, both in mercy and provision, and also in judgment, as the shallowness and fickleness of the people's faith was revealed by their experience of adversity. During their 40 years of traveling through the wilderness, which is mirrored in Jesus' 40 days in the wilderness, the people were being shaped to be and to become a people after God's own heart. They were slowly being molded into a people who could reflect God's character, God's goodness and mercy and justice to the world around them. So although Mark only gives us a tantalizing few lines compared to some of the other Gospels' much longer accounts of the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness, nevertheless, Mark's account is rich with suggestion about what kind of thing might be happening here in this story. Jesus begins at the river, the place of joy, of goodness. And then Jesus is led by the Spirit into the wilderness, a place of hardship and scarcity, but also a place of provision and transformation. Both of these places, the river and the wilderness, are places that he is led by God and places where he is accompanied by God's mercy. This pattern of a joyful, affirming spiritual experience followed by a time of wilderness is one that has been recognized by a huge variety of Christian writers over the centuries. The medieval mystics speak about it, the Ignatian traditions, a great many people from different times and places throughout history have recognized this pattern of a spiritual high followed by a spiritual low almost immediately. The Ignatian tradition calls this consolation and desolation. It's a pattern that we acknowledged quite a bit in the youth ministry that I was part of before I came to First and Viewside. We would often take young people away for weekends or sometimes to big worship conferences, and people would have these really exciting experiences of worshiping alongside thousands of others or being part of praying with others for the first time or perhaps their first experience of service and volunteering. And often those were really big, highs, something brand new, something really exciting. But usually what happens is that you have to come home. And after that, there can definitely be a kind of crash, coming down, if you like, from the mountaintop peak of experience back to normal life. And questions arise. Was that thing that I experienced really real if I can't see it and access it in my ordinary day-to-day life? Or how am I supposed to take this experience that I've had into my normal life as I carry on? Consolation and desolation. The advice of wise leaders has often been that in desolation, in the times when we feel like we are in the wilderness, it is very much about holding on to the truths that we learned when we were in consolation. And I imagine that Jesus had something of that. He had heard the voice of God saying to him, "You are my son, the beloved. With you, I am well pleased." I can well imagine that those were the words that sustained him through his time in the wilderness. And also within these Ignatian traditions, the advice very much is that you shouldn't step off the path when you're in a time of desolation. It's about taking the next obvious step. Desolation is not a season in which you should make radical life change. So don't quit your job, don't leave your spouse, don't do anything dramatic in your life when you are in a time of desolation, because you need to wait until you are in a place of consolation to actually be able to see and to hear where it is that God is leading you next. The desolation period is very much about keeping your eyes fixed on the next step and persevering until you get to the other side. Maybe you recognize this from our own emotional ups and downs in life. I sometimes think that we could all be graphed, and you know, this ups and downs, some people have a graph that looks like this, very even and not a great deal of difference between the ups and downs. Other people have a graph that looks more like this, where they have high highs and really low lows. And if you were plotting this graph, perhaps some of us are naturally higher up on the scale and some of us are naturally lower down. But nevertheless, we all experience highs and lows in our emotional lives and also in our spiritual lives. Sometimes we're full of joy, we're full of belief, of energy and excitement, God feels close. And at other times we might be full of doubt or indifference. God might seem far away, we might lack the energy and motivation to pursue the practices of our faith. We might even feel abandoned or alone. What our reading today reveals is that Jesus has been here too. Jesus himself, God's Son, the Beloved, has been in both of these places, in consolation and in desolation. And so even in the times when we feel most alone, most distant from God, least able to recognize God's presence or to understand God's purposes for us and in us, even in those times, Jesus is there. He went to these places as part of his own journey as a human being living life with God. And he also went there to be prepared for his ministry and his mission. And he also went there for us, on our behalf, and so that he could be with us. This past year has in many ways been a wilderness season for all of us. No doubt we've each had our own experiences of ups and downs within that time. We've all perhaps experienced both consolation spiritually and desolation in different parts of this season. But we're all experiencing the lack that is associated with wilderness experiences. Jesus was in the wilderness. It's interesting that Mark doesn't say that he was fasting, although we get that from other gospels. But nevertheless, the lack of basic necessities is implied by the setting. Jesus went to the place of aloneness, of want, of need. He experienced temptation. He was with the wild beast. I've got no idea what that might mean, really, but it's kind of tantalizing. I'm sure somebody has written a dissertation about what that might be about. Jesus also encountered angels. And an angel, the word, just means messenger, a messenger from God. So God is still communicating and caring for Jesus, even in this very different kind of setting than at the Jordan. Jesus has been where we are, so that we need not be alone in our wilderness places, in our places of temptation or trial or desolation. Jesus' own time in the wilderness led him out into ministry, into the power to heal and to bless others, into being able to live the life that God had called him to live. May this season of Lent, and also this season of pandemic that we are all living through, may both of these experiences do the same for us, prepare us to go forwards into the power to heal and bless others, into being able to live the life that God has called us to live. Amen. We're going to have now a little time of reflection. Susan has prepared some music, and there's lovely pictures to go with that, which I'm going to play. You're very welcome to sit and listen to the music and to reflect on what we've just been speaking about. You might want to go and grab a Bible and have another look at that passage. It was Mark chapter 1, verses 9 to 15. So if you want to use that for your reflections, you're very welcome. So we'll have a few minutes of reflection quietly together. I'm going to invite John Forbes now to unmute and to lead us in our prayers. Oh, there we go, sorted.
Let us all pray, and as we pray, pray for others. Heavenly Father, praying for others sounds a little bit like a duty, and it is, we know, Lord, a duty in any genuine order of service. Yet the word others by itself sounds a bit distant and a bit safe. We're here, safe, warm in our houses, cared for, Sunday meal guaranteed. We thank you, Lord, for all that. Yet who are these others that we should care for them? Those perhaps in the wilderness, in the downside of life, really in the downside. But Lord, each one of us in a moment of reflection will realize that the word others has been given flesh as an article in the newspaper has been read, an appeal from a charity that's dropped through the door, a sight of a child having to drink filthy water flashes in our minds as we've waited for some entertainment or news on our television. Lord, I saw a 16-year-old lass on her own, put into a caravan alone, yes, all on her own, a victim of a harsh home, cared for by a children's charity, who, overwhelmed with the needs of homeless, have done the best they can for her. I thought about that, and that image haunted me all week. We may have shared that on a Sky News program or seen worse. We've no doubt had leaflets from charities, messages on email from countries where they cannot afford to vaccinate their people. The appeals from charities are just non-stop. And if we're not careful, our waste paper basket is just that little bit too close. We've learnt of the Duke of Edinburgh in hospital and must have thought about the anxiety felt by our Queen, or seen young servicemen helping the overworked National Health Service staff, helping with the actual giving of the vaccinations. We think of the enormous burden placed upon our Prime Minister, our First Minister, who in their duty to care for us all too often have to deal with vicious criticism instead of receiving our plain thanks. Lord, we pray for all of these and others close to us as we pray that with the Spirit of Christ and his compassion within us, this week as we determine again to make somewhere a difference, be it large or small, we will make that difference so that his compassion is felt. For Christ has no body but ours. And as he taught us to pray, we all pray together, saying, unmuting, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever.
Amen. Oops, John, thank you so much. Sorry, I was muted there. We are going to have one more song, and it is the song that we would normally sing for somebody being baptized. We've read today about the baptism of Jesus, and normally when a child or an adult is baptized in church, we would if they're a baby, we'd carry them around. That would be weird if they were an adult. But they would go around the church and we would sing to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. And we're going to have that sung now. We won't have one another's faces in front of us as we sing it, But please do think about one another as we are singing this blessing. Jesus received the blessing and the affirmation of God at his baptism. And so as we sing this together, we will be praying for that blessing on one another. So we'll sing together, "The Lord bless you and keep you." Sorry, if you've unmuted yourself, you might want to mute yourself again, unless you want us all to hear you sing, which, fine by me. And now may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you this day and always. Amen.